Well, it's great to be back at Fremantle. It's been a couple of weeks. I've been at Wellard, and it's so good to be here. You know, even though we may be between campuses, my goodness, I've been praying a lot for all of you this past 2 weeks. God puts people on my heart, and I think as a pastor of shepherding and guiding, you know, I just love that I can just pray for you, and I have been, and just know that that's what your pastors do. They pray for you. They pray for you every single day, that you'll be protected, that you'll be safe, that you'll just be in, you know, close communion with God. And so it's great to be back at Fremantle. Thank you, worship team. I think, you know, as time goes on, you know, when we get to heaven, we're going to be worshiping God just all the time. And it's interesting how our worship is just getting sweeter. We're just hanging and lingering in his presence longer. And I think it's a sign of what's going to be like in heaven. It's very, very good. So it's a privilege always to bring the word to you this morning. And this message, there's a lot that I want to get through, so I might talk quite quickly. But the message this morning is titled Input and Output. And it's basically talking about what are you putting into yourself will show what it will come out of yourself. What are you putting in will come out. And so we choose our future by what we put into ourselves. What your input correlates to your output and your productivity and your fruitfulness and your effectiveness. We have been given the ability to choose, to decide, a free will, by choosing to put good things into our lives, our heart, our mind and our body. We also have the freedom to choose unhealthy and negative and not so good things to put into our heart, our mind and our body. So this morning we're going to look at choosing wisely what you're putting into yourself to live a fruitful present and future. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit this morning that is transforming people's hearts and minds today by the word of God. As the word of God is spoken and received this morning, Lord, that you are going to deposit something into each person that you want to transform and renew so that we are living according to the mind of Christ. Lord, so that we are able to put good things into ourselves and be fruitful and effective for your kingdom and for your glory. In Jesus' name, I pray. So God said at the very beginning in his relationship with Adam in Genesis 1:28, be fruitful and multiply. We read the scripture, then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So God's very nature is to be fruitful and multiply. And we can see so easily in his creation of the universe and the earth that he just creates everything to bear fruit and to multiply. So what does being fruitful mean? It means to be productive, to be effective. And the word multiply means to increase in number. Fill the earth means to replenish or refill. And subdue means to control and to have dominion over and to have authority over. So God created both men and women in his image. He created both male and female in his image and then blessed them. Even though the first man and woman had not been created yet when this scripture was spoken, this is a prophetic scripture, God already had it in mind that he would bless both male and female, to be fruitful and to multiply. And this is what we are to do. We're to be fruitful and multiply. You know, Richard's at the back, I think he's service managing today. And so Richard and I have been very good at multiplying. We're great at that. We have 4 children. Did a good job in that area. And I don't know whether many of you know, but we love animals. We have lots of different animals at our house, chickens, dogs, cats, bunnies. We've had guinea pigs. We just love animals. And a couple of weeks ago, just before we went to Wellard campus, Richard opened up the linen cupboard and found 8 baby brand new bunnies just in the linen cupboard. What is going on? I did not know that Samantha had planned this multiplication of our bunnies so that she could sell them to buy a new phone, but she failed to tell her parents. So multiplication, we're really great at that. And fruitfulness, you know, Richard and I have really sought to seek the Lord first and really in decisions that we make and the directions that the Lord is taking us to really seek Him first and put Him first. And I think out of that, we have seen the blessing of God over our lives, but we have also seen and shown fruit in just how we have journeyed with people and seeing them come in closer relationship with God. I've seen, Alex is a great friend of mine and she serves in Kids Zone and she's just really grown so much in her walk with God and just seeing the fruit of her walk and how she is disciplined in her devotional life. She's a disciplined follower of Jesus and she is such a strong woman because of doing that. And it's great to see great fruit come from our people, isn't it? It's great seeing people doing Alpha like Chris and Tyler and Beck and just seeing how God is bringing great fruit from their lives and how they are following Jesus. So we're to be fruitful and to multiply. So I wanted to bring to you the story of King Solomon. Now, the reason why I'm bringing King Solomon to you is because he is well known for being a man of wisdom. He wrote the Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom. And he shows us not only how he wholeheartedly followed the Lord, but also how we can see when we don't do that or how when small decisions that are made that are not wise can actually bring bad fruit into our lives. So he's a great example this morning that I want to take you through and just share some really practical principles of putting good things into ourselves so that we can be fruitful and multiply. Okay, so some of the great things that King Solomon did, he was wise, he was prosperous, he was very wealthy. He was the son of King David and Bathsheba. And so just a few things that he did, just to give you an idea of his prosperity and just how fruitful he was. So he built the temple for God that King David wasn't able to build in his time. There were reasons for that, and so God chose King Solomon to finish that temple and build it. The temple was expensive and expansive. It was just, you know, the detail that we read about the temple in 1 Kings of the gold and the wood that was used and the furnishings, it was exquisite and very costly. Solomon conscripted a labour force of 30,000 men from all of Israel to send them in shifts to build the temple. And what he did was he sent 10,000 a month. So they would work on the temple 10,000 people at a time a month and then they would be back home for 2 months. I just love how King Solomon had wisdom in looking after his people as he was getting them to build this temple. He sent 70,000 men as labourers and 80,000 men who quarried stone in mountains and more people who would just supervise the laborious work that was going on. So you can imagine, he was a king. He had thousands and thousands of people that he was leading and overseeing and getting this temple built. He raised around $100 million in today's standards to contribute towards building this temple, $100 million. And we also see that he was wholly devoted to the Lord. He followed the Lord wholeheartedly and he offered sacrifices, 22,000 bulls, 120,000 sheep as peace offerings to God. So he just loved the Lord with everything that he had. And he was very wealthy. He was worth well over $700 million by today's standards. A lot of money, a lot of money. And Solomon also built a palace for himself that took 13 years to build. And the Queen of Sheba visited King Solomon to test his wisdom. The Queen of Sheba wanted to see whether this king was actually as wise as what was said about him and as prosperous as what was known about him. And so she came and visited him. And Solomon was able to answer all of her difficult questions, and she realized that he really was full of wisdom. She was also overwhelmed by his palace, amazed at the food on the tables, the organization of his officials and their splendid clothing, and the burnt offerings that Solomon made at the temple of the Lord. I just want to read you this scripture from 1 Kings in chapter 10. Just listen to it. It doesn't need to be on the screen. From verses 6 to 9. So the Queen of Sheba, she exclaimed to the king, "Everything I heard in my country about your achievements and wisdom is true. I didn't believe what was said until I arrived here and saw it with my own eyes. In fact, I had not heard the half of it. Your wisdom and prosperity are far beyond what I was told. How happy your people must be. What a privilege for your officials to stand here day after day listening to your wisdom. Praise the Lord your God who delights in you and has placed you on the throne of Israel. Because of the Lord's eternal love for Israel, he has made you king so you can rule with justice and righteousness." And King Solomon did rule that way. He had the wisdom of God. He made just decisions. He ruled with righteousness. And his productivity, he wrote 3,000 proverbs and over 1,000 songs. So it's fair to say that King Solomon was very fruitful. He multiplied a great deal. But it was out of a heart of wholeheartedly following the Lord. And we know that it was God who appeared to King Solomon in a dream. And God was so pleased with King Solomon and how he was following the Lord. And God said to him, ask me whatever you want and I'll give it to you. And the prayer that came back from King Solomon was one of just such appreciation and awe and honor of who God was and what he had done in his life and in his father's life. And out of a heart of just wanting to serve the Lord, of knowing him, he asks for wisdom. And God was so pleased with that he responded to Solomon, said, "I'm going to give you more wisdom, more understanding than anybody else. And more than that, I'm going to give you more prosperity and wealth than anyone, any king has ever had." And so we see that all of these things, all of this fruitfulness that came from King Solomon was out of God's source. It was out of God's plan. It was out of God who gave that to King Solomon and made that come to pass. God fulfilled all his promises to Solomon. And Solomon had great capacity. He had great capacity because he was wholeheartedly serving the Lord. He could have been lazy. He could have just expected God to do everything for him. But no, he worked hard. He worked diligently. And he sought the Lord and he acted and participated in what was given to him. So where you are right now, where God has positioned and placed you right now, are you putting the Lord first and being obedient to him? Are your decisions and actions grounded in God's wisdom? Are you being fruitful and productive with the responsibilities that you have been given right now? God has given us a freedom to choose, a free will to choose. And in Proverbs 16, verse 3, it says, "Commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed." This means that when we are choosing to give our tasks and our lists and our commitments over to the Lord as an act of surrender to him, he will make your plans succeed. It's like this. You're at university, you're in your place of work where God has placed you. And so you commit those things to the Lord. You commit all the things that need to be done, your uni assignments, your workload, all those things you commit to the Lord. You surrender to him. You give them to him and he will make your plans succeed. He will bring you the success to the things that you are committing to him for. Does that make sense? We have a free will. And so the nature of God is for us to depend on his strength, on his power at work within us, to give all that needs to be done to him, for through him, the things that you set out to do, he will bring success and he will bring them to be accomplished. So choose, decide, make decisions as children of God to choose good things for your future, to choose good things for your life. Seek Him first. Seek His kingdom and His righteousness. Make disciples. Teach people about the Word of God. Use your testimonies that you have to share with others of the goodness of what God has done in your life to help them also seek the Lord as well. So in Proverbs 16, verse 9, it says, "We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps." So God determines our steps. He directs our paths. He keeps us on the path of righteousness. So we need to be staying in His will. We need to be seeking Him, depending on Him, giving all our decisions over to Him. And He will direct our paths. He will keep us on the path that is straight and righteous. So what plans do you have? What tasks have you set to accomplish? Are these plans pleasing to God? Do your plans align with seeking His kingdom first, or are they plans that are not pleasing to Him? King Solomon chose to serve God. He freely chose to wholeheartedly serve God. He loved the Lord and he followed God's commandments and decrees. So choose to serve God first. If you are serving anything else, or like Charlie said, you might have had money as your idol or other things as your idol. Put God first. Put God first in everything that you do. Okay. So Galatians 5:13. "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love." And so we see how we've got a free will that we choose to put God first. We choose decisions that are going to be good for us, that are pleasing to the Lord. And then we also invite Holy Spirit to guide and lead us. And Holy Spirit will guide us and lead us in keeping us on that path of righteousness and keeping Him at the center of His will. And so we are to use our freedom to serve the Lord by loving one another. And as we allow Holy Spirit to guide our lives, that will keep us from sinning. And so we need to be thinking about, well, what are we engaging in? What are we looking at? What are we spending our time in when we're not in church or when we're not at work? What do we do in our free time? Is that pleasing to the Lord? Is that keeping us on the path of righteousness? We need to be thinking about these things because, you know, the older I get, the more I think of I'm just falling more and more in love with the Word of God. More and more in love with the Word of God and how rich it is and how Holy Spirit speaks to me and how God is so good in just, you know, He is more than enough. He is more than enough. The earthly things will fade away, but He will last forever. And so another practical application of putting good things in is guarding our hearts. King Solomon said it so well in Proverbs 4:23. "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." We need to be so diligent in guarding our heart, in keeping our heart protected from the enemy, in making sure that we are just writing the Word of God on our hearts. We are meditating on His Word. We're studying His Word where we're just, you know, the Word of God will just flow out of our hearts as we spend time in His presence. As we have His peace, His truth, His life in us, and we keep all the other things out of our heart. So guard your heart above all else. And also guard your mind, guard your thoughts, focus on what is good. In Philippians 4, this is such a well-known scripture, verses 4 to 9. It says, "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. So don't worry about anything, but instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honourable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learnt and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. And so our hearts are guarded and our minds need to be guarded as well. We need to be thinking on what is true, what is honourable, what is right, what is admirable. And so those areas of procrastination or worry or fear or thinking that the worst is going to happen or just different types of thinking that is not healthy for us, we need to be putting that out of our minds and fixing our minds on what is true. And when you go to the Word of God and you start reading the Word of God, all you're getting is truth into you. You're getting truth into your heart and you're getting truth into your mind. It doesn't matter even if you don't understand all of it. Just keep pressing in. Just keep pressing into the Word of God. Invite Him to reveal things in His Word to you so that you have your mind guarded, that you're having truth in your mind. And keeping the critical thinking out, keeping the things that are not of God out of your head. So guard your heart, guard your mind. It's a constant thing that I have to work on a lot. I worry a lot and I have very unhealthy thinking in some specific areas. And so that's an area where I just have to be really aware of and really pray the Word of God into those spaces. And it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. The Lord is interested in you journeying with Him and bringing the transformation and renewal to your heart and your mind as you just build habits into seeking Him daily, as you're daily spending time in His Word and in His presence. He will bring that transformation. He will bring that truth to you. And we know, I've spoken about this many times, how our brains are rewired. So productive output. So we talked about the things to guard our heart, guard our mind, being on the Word of God, all these things that we put into ourselves, that we will be fruitful and multiply. But we cannot be productive when we are lacking. If we are malnourished spiritually, emotionally, physically, or mentally, we cannot have a productive output if those things are depleted. I love how it just says, you know, off the top, off just like rolls off the top of, you know, the Word where it says King Solomon produced 3,000 proverbs and 1,000 songs. 1,000 songs. Just go, wow, that's incredible output. And so our output will be productive when we are staying close in communion with Jesus, when we stay close to Him. In John 15, verse 5, it says, "Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So when we're staying close to Jesus, when we are close in prayer, close in reading His Word, you will bear much fruit, not just a little bit. You will bear much fruit. You will be incredibly fruitful. And I think this is key to each one of us, that it's our responsibility. I'm not responsible for your faith. You are responsible for your faith and your relationship with Christ. And so it's our responsibility to be close to Him, to stay in close connection to Him. That's my prayer for you, that you would all do, that you would be close to the vine and that we would see much fruit. We see that with Louis and Juliet, we see much fruit from them. And it's so clear that that's come out of their close communion with the Lord. We see how they have discipled people over and over and over again. It's because they are close to Jesus. They are connected to the vine. And Philippians 2:13, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him." We sang this morning. God is working in you every second of the day. He is working in you to give you the desire and the power to do his will. He is constantly working on your heart. Holy Spirit is constantly working to give you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. We have such a great God that is for us, don't we? Great God that is for us. And so the last point that I want to bring to you this morning is about capacity. Capacity. Your capacity increases with putting good things into every area of yourself. Your buoyancy, your resilience, your ability to bounce back from things become better. Your capacity increases as you continue to put good input into your heart and your mind and your body and your soul. That your capacity increases, your resilience is better. And I could share with you that, you know, a few years ago when I was counselling and I was working 12-hour days back to back, no breaks in between clients and just having such need for a capacity to be able to do that and praying all the time when I'm driving to work, praying when I'm coming home, praying during the sessions, just constantly praying all the time so that I could sustain that capacity. But do you know what? It was not sustainable. It was not wise. And there came to a point where I actually had to take a day off work because all those areas that we talked about, our emotional energy, our physical energy, our mental energy, our spiritual energy, all those areas were depleted because I wasn't putting enough into me. And so I couldn't continue to put out to other people. But do you know what? As I've learnt how to be disciplined in prayer, to be disciplined in reading the word, to be disciplined in having breaks, in having rest, in having fun, that your capacity can increase, your fruitfulness can increase. And God's grace will give you the ability to adjust to different seasons and stages of your life. I think back and look back at the times where being a student, being single, it was so easy. I cannot tell you how easy it is to be single and student or working. Oh my goodness, it is so easy, so easy. You have so much freedom. And then when you get married, you have to adjust to living with this person that you thought was one thing, and then you live with them and they go, oh, there's lots of things you find out about them that you adjust to. God gives you grace for that. And then having a child, another big adjustment, God's grace in that. Two children, God's grace in that. Our capacity increases. My goodness, when we hit three children, the capacity was just, that was a different story altogether. But God will give you grace for every season, every stage that you are in right now. His grace covers you and he will give you the capacity, the sustenance to do what you are called to do the things that you are setting out to do. So as we come to a close, I'm just going to run through some really quick practical things that are going to help you just be fruitful, to be effective for the kingdom of God. And so spend time in his presence. Fill your soul with his presence. We love to gather corporately and to bask in his presence here. You know, when you're at home, spend time in his presence. Just spend time worshiping him and praising him. Spend time in his presence. Allow him to fill you up by the power of his Holy Spirit. His strength sustains you. He builds your capacity this way. Choose to put God first, to put your decisions before him. Give your tasks over to him and he will bring you success. Guard your heart, guard your mind. Put and keep good things in your mind and your heart. Spend time in his word. really spend time in His Word. Just enjoy reading His Word every single day. Eat well. I would love to live on chocolate and hot chips and ice cream, but it's just not good for you. Eat well. Eat well. Move well. Sleep well. So important to have good rest. Good rest. And have fun and play. You know, there's nothing better than just having fun and being silly and playing and just enjoying life. It's good for your soul. It's good for your soul.